Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. Along with Ross Tucker, I'm Jim Galante. And it's time for Tucker's Tape, brought to you by GoPSURV.com. Celebrating the return of the fans, GoPSURV.com is having a special deal for the first game versus Ball State. Purchase one RV for the weekend, you get a second one for free. That's right, it's a two-for-one deal. For more info, go to GoPSURV.com, or you could call Mark at 800-519-8467. Okay, Ross, we're getting close to the season. It's time to answer one question, and this is kind of a theme this week. I'm asking everybody on the show this week the same question, and that's, what will it take for Penn State to be successful this year? I'm calling 10 wins a success. So the question is, what do they need to do on the field to get there?
I would agree, by the way. I think for this season, they go into it, whatever they're ranked 19th, I would agree that a 10-2 finish would be good. Look, we all want Penn State to win the Big Ten. We all want Penn State to win national championships, to make the college football playoff. And we should, by the way. That should be the standard for Penn State's football program, that's what they're trying to accomplish. That said, I think the way you get there, Jim, is you just keep stacking 10-plus win seasons together, right? I mean, if you're winning 10 or more games every year, you're there, man. You are knocking on the door, and you are right there where we want them to be. So I would agree with what you said about 10 wins being a success. I guess here's my question. Are you including the bowl game in that, or 10 wins in the regular season?
I want 10 regular season wins. 10-2. I think that's the standard that James Franklin has set, a 10-win season. And candidly, as a fan, I'm not sure 12-0 and 11-1 is really fair. And I think it's a tough schedule this season. I think as a fan, it's fair of me to ask for 10-2. And I also think it's a fair and reasonable expectation of the team. And I would call it a good season.
I feel like if they went 10-2, that would be a great season. They got a tough schedule, man. I mean, first game at Wisconsin with the first time they're letting fans back in. And then you got to play Auburn, an SEC team with a very experienced quarterback. Ball State, I'm just telling you, Jim, Ball State, and I know we'll go through this maybe next week or whatever. Don't sleep on Ball State is all I would tell you. Because they're the MAC champs, and for a reason they bring everybody back. Then you still have to play at Ohio State, at Iowa, you got Michigan. So, yeah, I would say 10-2, they'd be doing very well. There's a lot of things that need to happen for that to take place. I'll tell you one that really jumps out to me that maybe is not obvious. And maybe this is just because this is my wheelhouse. They need the offensive line to take the next step. They need the offensive line to take a step forward. I thought the offensive line disappointingly took a step back last year. We talked about why that might be the case, knowing that they had a new coordinator, a new offensive line coach. They obviously have their own schemes, their own techniques, and they had a very limited offseason. So we know why it was the case. But you know what the reality is, Jim? Nobody cares. Nobody cares about your problems. In fact, most of the people are happy that you have them. You know? I mean, they're happy that you have those problems. It's a competition. So I would really like to see in year two with Phil Troutwine, I know it's Yursich, so it's a new OC, but I would really like to see Penn State take a step forward up front. And I think that could really help them out if they could take a step forward up front. And I think they got the guys. I mean, I think Wallace and Walker at the tackles are studs. I think Miranda will be physical at center. The guards are a little bit of a question mark, but we've seen enough from Des Holmes and Scruggs that you would think those guys, or maybe Wigan or Wilson, can play at a high level. So I know that's probably not the first one that the other guys went with, Jim, but it's the first one I'm going with. They need the offensive line to take a step forward, at least be 2019 form up front.
Well, then that begs the question, do you think we will see that? Do you have that kind of confidence in Troutwine? Do you have that confidence in the talent?
I do, Jim. I do think that Troutwine, look, he's been very highly touted what he did at Boston College. There's a reason why James Franklin went out and got him. I've been impressed with him in my interactions with him. I think there's a very real reason why he got brought there. And I'm just excited to see what he can do with a full offseason with these guys, a full training camp. It is a position where technique and repetition matters a great deal. And now he's finally getting a chance to do that. So yes, that combined with the talent they have, certainly at the offensive tackles, but really I would say across the board.
All right. I'm going to ask you now about the obvious question. You went not so obvious. The offensive line, everything on a offense and defense works together. Sean Clifford will be better if the offensive line is better. But I still think this falls on not just Sean Clifford, but Mike Yurcich's ability to get the best out of Sean Clifford. What are your thoughts there?
Well, there's no question. You know, Franklin clearly feels as if Kirk Ciarrocca was not able to get the most out of Sean Clifford and the offense last year, which is why he went out and made the move to move on from Kirk Ciarrocca and to bring in Yurcich. So, you know, Franklin's got to be right. You know, he made a move on the offensive line, even though the offensive line had played really well under the previous offensive line coach. And it didn't really help last year. Now he's making another move at OC. He's got to be right. And there's no question that Clifford needs to be comfortable with what Yurcich is asking him to do. Clearly, you know, going ahead and being in yet another offense and another offensive coordinator is not ideal for Clifford, but you have to find a way to overcome. I mean, if he had played better last year, they wouldn't have a new offensive coordinator this year. So he wouldn't be in that boat. So I would agree to that. Although, I don't know, Jim, I don't follow like the everyday minutia as closely as you do, but I've seen some reports that indicate perhaps Clifford hasn't been having the greatest camp so far.
Well, we've talked about it a little bit, and we did in segment number one with Andy. The Big Ten crew did their visit to the Penn State practice this past week, and the Josh Perry, he gave his three takeaways were: there's good running backs, there's good defensive backs, but I have questions at quarterback. And I don't know if we're all overreacting to that. You tell me, in one practice, can someone see that and come to any conclusions on a quarterback?
Well, they can certainly describe what they saw that day. But in my experience, I feel like a lot of times they're getting that information from coaches on the staff or from their conversations with them. And I'm not saying that's the case with Josh. I don't know. Maybe he just went by what he saw that day, and maybe it was an ugly practice for Clifford. If that's the case, that's fine. But I think there are times where, you know, the coaches will kind of tell you something like, man, he's struggling. He's not comfortable with what we're doing.
Well, the other part to this, and I had this thought too, I didn't have to go to a practice. I don't have to see anything to say the running backs are good and deep. There's a lot of talent in the defensive backfield. And after the season Sean Clifford had last year, I can conclude there's question marks at the position. And I haven't seen one second of practice, and I can make those statements. So I wouldn't take too much out of it. And I know you're also, like me, a longtime Penn State fan. And I mentioned this earlier in the week, but it keeps popping up in my head. Years ago, one of the first times, you know, the Big Ten Network, they went to a practice. They came away raving about this true freshman quarterback by the name of Rob Bolden. You remember that, Ross?
Terrible. He might, I don't know if Rob Bolden listens to the show or not. Jim, he might be the worst starting quarterback Penn State's ever had. I mean, he was really bad. Can you think of anybody that was worse? I know this is a different topic, but can you think of anybody that was worse?
No. And this memory caused me to look up his record, and I don't know where I wrote down the statistics, but he ended up transferring to LSU, did not get into a game, then transferred from there to Eastern Michigan, and threw more interceptions than touchdowns while he was at Eastern Michigan. So,
you know why the Big Ten crew came away raving about him?
Because the coaches raved about him, I'll bet.
Because he was Jay Paterno's guy. Jay Paterno fell in love with him. Jay Paterno thought he was going to be great. Jay Paterno was all in on Robert Bolden. So maybe we shouldn't listen to Jay Paterno when it comes to quarterback evaluations moving forward. That kid, that poor kid, was terrible. I mean, at one point I thought maybe he was left-handed. I mean, that kid, he was not a I thought LSU moved him to wide receiver at some point.
They did, but yeah, I don't know if you remember his second game. It was Alabama. It was not pretty.
I'll give you a couple more real quick.
Yes,
Jim.
Please.
I think they need a stud running back to emerge. I know they got the rotation and whatever. They need a dude. Somebody needs to step up and be a dude. A Miles Sanders, a Journey Brown, a Saquon Barkley. And they're going to have to figure it out at defensive end. I think the linebackers, like the offensive line, took a step back. They need to take a step forward. I feel pretty good about the secondary, but they're going to have some guys at defensive end step up and play at a high level, for sure.
Real quick, my one concern, Ross, over the years is I look back at the defensive secondary and say, yeah, there's a lot of players there, but somehow they still end up screwing up and receivers run free. Are we going to see that, or are we going to fix that this year?
Well, I certainly hope we're not, but I don't know. Based on recent years, who knows?
All right. That is it for quarter number two and Tucker's Tape. Stick with us. In quarter number three, we're going to Ask Ross. Fans are back, and so is tailgating. To celebrate, GoPSURV.com has a very special offer. For the first home game of the season, rent one RV and get a second one for free. A two-for-one deal. That's right. You can double the family, double the friends, definitely double the fun. Go to GoPSURV.com or call Mark at 1-800-519-8467 for more information.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.